This morning we invite you to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read beginning with verse number 14. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 4 beginning with verse number 14. Writer of Hebrews writes, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of these verses. Last Sunday morning, we dealt with that of the first verse of this section, verse number 14. And as we did, we noted several things about the text that we would just very quickly like to draw your attention back to. In verse number 14, the writer of Hebrews, he begins here by saying, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." And what we would draw your attention to very quickly is to that statement where he says, "We have a great high priest." It's not that we have one who is available, but it is the idea that we have as that of our possession, that of a high priest, a great high priest. You'll note he says. Now, high priest means great high priest, but you'll note that here in our text that there is a double emphasis on the ideal of this one who is being spoken of, that he is great. He's not just an ordinary high priest or great priest, is the ideal here in that of our passage. But the writer wants us to understand very clearly, and he goes on to clarify that this one whom he speaks of is not just any high priest, but indeed he is a great high priest. For you note there in the text, there, verse 14, he goes on further to say that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. That statement, that very last statement, is one which the writer in these words tells us how that this one that he speaks of is great. Why that there is such an emphasis upon that of the greatness of this one? Because he has passed into the heavens. He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens." Now, let's stop and ask the question. Has any high priest other than the one who he is speaking of, is there anyone that is a high priest that has passed into the heavens? No. But he says, we do have a great high priest, and he has passed into the heavens. Now, here, as we think of the heavens, the idea here is that that's where the very presence of God is. That's where God is. That's where God's throne is. This one whom the writer of Hebrews speaks of has entered into that of the heavenly realm, into the very presence of God. So this high priest, he is indeed great because he has entered into the very presence of God. Now later on, the writer of Hebrews is going to speak of that as being that of the heavenly sanctuary. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Here he identifies this one, and he identifies him first of all by name, Jesus, the one who shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, The one born of the Virgin Mary. The one who was a baby, a child, and not of a man. A full-grown man. One who had human flesh like you and I do. He says, this is the one that I'm speaking of. This is the one who has entered into the heavens. But not only this one who has the name of Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who was the babe in the manger and a child and that of a real man. But he says, the Son of God. See how the writer of Hebrews brings that of both thoughts together here with regards to that of who Jesus is, our Savior? He brings together that of His humanity and that of His divinity in that of this statement here. Jesus, the Son of God. He's the one who is the great high priest. He's the one who has entered into the heavens. And He's entered there, beloved, as that of our great high priest, as that of our representative, the one who represents us, the ones whom He declares that this one is their great high priest. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Who is the we? None other than that of the writer and those to whom he's writing to, who was spoken of as having received the heavenly calling. Back in chapter 3, verse 1. The ones who had made a profession of faith, and that profession of faith was in that of Jesus, the Son of God. Now he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, as we noted last week, the reference here goes back to that of the past versus the previous context, which, of course, the previous context has to do with that of the Word of God and how that is a sword, how that it opens us up and reveals everything about us. Seeing we then have a great high priest. That is passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Note again, he uses the pronoun. Back in verse 14, he used the pronoun we. We, plural. Now he uses the pronoun us. He says, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast the profession. Let us cling. Let us hold to. Let us persevere. Let us continue to cling, to trust. That profession, the object of that profession, of that faith, being none other than that of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who is our great high priest. Now, this is the context to that of the focus verse that we're going to be considering this morning. And that focus verse is none other than that of verse number 15, where the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. My subject this morning is our sympathizing high priest. You'll note back in verse number 14, the writer of Hebrews tells us what we have. We have a great high priest. Now in the text that we're going to look at now, he's going to tell us what we do not have. Note what he writes. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What do we have not? Or what don't we have? I want to consider our text in this manner. What we do not have and what we do have. Because as we look at the text, it tells us both. And it's very interesting how that the writer of Hebrews sets this forth before us here in the text. He says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." We have not. We don't have that of a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The writer of Hebrews is telling us we don't have a high priest that cannot enter in to that of understanding that of our infirmities. Now, he's already presented Jesus, the Son of God, is the great high priest who has entered into the heavens, who, as you think about it, he's exalted. He's in heaven. We're down here on earth. Now, when we think of individuals here upon the earth that perhaps we have to enter into our lives, and they are ones, individuals who hold that of a position whereby they're, you know, they're kind of high, so to speak, in that of their position. When they come and we're in their presence, we don't go running up to them like we know them, you know, like, you know, Joe here. No, normally, in that sense, I would say that if someone like that entered into that of our presence or came where we were, we would most likely stand back. We wouldn't go running up there and, you know, make an all to do about them. No, we would probably stand off some. Well, beloved, the one whom the writer of Hebrews is telling us about, he is indeed high. He is indeed exalted. He is indeed in heaven. But beloved, it's not that he is so high and lofty that he doesn't know about us, that he doesn't care about us, that he doesn't know that of what we're going through down here, because he has been here and has gone through it. The wilderness, which is the picture that has been presented in the past in these chapters. The wilderness, the Israelites wandering through the wilderness to that of the promised land. Beloved, that's typical of that of us as human beings here upon the earth, wandering through that of this world of sin and of woe and of trials and that of test, beloved. And looking forward to that time when we'll reach that heavenly shore, that promised land. Well, beloved, Jesus has been here. Not only has he been here, but he was victorious. He lived a life here, beloved, that was one that was perfect. He came to do a work that God had given unto him, his Father had given to him. And beloved, he finished it. He died upon the cross, paying that of the sin debt for that of his people. And now, he was buried, but now he is risen. He is ascended back into heaven. We have the God-man in heaven. We have a man in heaven. And beloved, he is that of our representative. He is God and man. And beloved, he's not aloof to that of us down here. No, beloved. The writer of Hebrews tells us we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of infirmities. Now, what's so interesting about this is that in the Greek there are two negatives. Two negatives. Now, in English grammar, we know when there's two negatives that the one crosses out the other. So, the writer here is emphasizing by giving that of the two negatives here in the Greek. He's emphasizing the fact that this one whom he speaks of, but he's not one that is above us, that doesn't care about us, that doesn't know anything about us or know about that of our experience down here upon the earth. But rather, beloved, he's one who does know. And he is one who is indeed able. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We could turn that around and say, we do have a high priest which is able to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But the way the writer has put it, he's put two negatives here in the Greek. We do have a great high priest who is able and who does enter in and is able to understand and sympathize with us in every trial and test of this life. You note next in our text that we have a but. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, the writer of Romans, the Apostle Paul, he writes in chapter 8 and in verse number 3, he says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Now, the words that we want to draw your attention to from that quote is in the likeness. In the likeness of sinful flesh. Beloved, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He was fully human. Fully human. And he was also God. He was God manifested in flesh. He was a man. He had that of our nature. As far as that of humanity. But beloved, he did not have that of our fallenness. He didn't have, beloved, that of the corruption that is in us. The writer of Hebrews writes, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now most of us here know that the Gospels present that of early in the life of the Lord Jesus, that of that time which is spoken of as the time of temptation, when he went off out into the wilderness. But let me just say to you that that was not when he went out into the wilderness and he was tempted there. That was not when he came out of the wilderness. That was not the end of his temptation. No, beloved, throughout that of his entire life, beloved, he was being tested. And beloved, let me say to you, he passed the test. He passed it fully, completely. As the writer of Hebrews tells us, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So, beloved, Jesus, who is displayed here, who is spoken of here as our great high priest, yes, he is a great high priest, and yes, beloved, he understands. He understands you and me. He understands that of the way of the wilderness. And beloved, he passed it completely, the test. And he did not sin. And he did not sin. Over in Hebrews chapter 2, as we studied there in chapter 2, we saw the writer of Hebrews present to us that of Jesus made lower than the angels. In verse 9 he says, but we see Jesus, who made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captive their salvation perfect through sufferings. Yes, beloved, Jesus suffered. He suffered here in that of this life as that of a man. The perfect man. Beloved, he went before us. He's spoken of as the captain of our salvation here. Or that of the one who is the forerunner. the one who went before. Verse 11, he says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren." Not only, beloved, is he that of our captain, but beloved, he is spoken of here as our brother. "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all are of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I'll declare thy name to my brethren in the midst of the church, who I sing praise unto thee. And again I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as children are protected of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, the writer of Hebrews will go on to say, beginning with verse number 25, he says, "Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of an oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Beloved, we have a great high priest. We have one who is a sympathizing great high priest. He's not one that stands afar, but beloved, he's one that is near. He's one, beloved, who is approachable. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say then, which we'll consider tonight, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The songwriter wrote, "Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord." Tonight we'll consider the last verse of this section, and I would leave you with this. We have that of a exhortation which is given in verse number 16. It's an exhortation to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do we? Do we heed this exhortation? Or is it that we fail? And if we fail, why is it that we fail? Why is it that we fail to heed the exhortation. Think about that. Let's stand. Let's turn to hymn number 630. Hymn number 630.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. This pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Look, next two verses. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with an over care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Now we'll find the song. Crazy, be back this afternoon as we gather around the Word of God once again. And as I said, our focus will be verse number 16. I'm going to ask Brother Don if he'll be in closing prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the wonderful High Priest we have in Christ, that he is sympathetic and understanding, loving, patient. Lord, that he is our near kinsman. Lord, we rejoice that he shares our humanity, that he will share that throughout eternity. Lord, that we are united to him, that he is our elder brother, loves us, and has provided all things for our salvation. Lord, we do pray that we might more and more resort to him and trust in him, rest in him, rejoice in him. Lord, may he truly be our all in all. Father, now as we part, may we go with your blessing. Bless your word to our hearts. Lord, may thy Holy Spirit give us, bring these things to our minds and hearts and help us to appreciate and love them. To grow in our knowledge and in thy grace. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.